But.
So is that what you used to skip that part?
So it's let every another be recorded and transcribed.
I think we're ready.
Okay, we're ready. It's like they whistle.
Small call.
Commissioner Anderson.
You.
John Anderson.
Yes.
Commissioner Ryan Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blake.
Here.
Commissioner Flash. Commissioner Nicole Fife.
Here, here.
Commissioner Kretschmer.
Here.
I'm sorry if I
missed
that. Commissioner Corison. Kendall. We're not expecting today. Commissioner Munez. Commissioner Romero Cardenas also was a notion for attendance. Chairman Spark.
Present.
Commissioner Vega.
Present.
We do have quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay, we will move to the second item, which are the approval of the April 29th, 2024 meeting minutes. You all received them. Excellent work. Good work. Very good.
Yeah.
Take a motion on them.
I make a motion. We approve the April 29th meeting.
Thank you. Second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye verbally.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, move on to program update. Stu Williams.
Chairman Spark, members of the commission, you should have the financial overview report in your packet materials. I'll hit some of the highlights on there and then take any questions you might have. If anybody does not have it, we'll go ahead and share it on the screen.
Also. Yeah, why don't you put it up on the screen and give a chance to adjust numbers. Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 3 should be on your screen now. So you'll notice that we usually go over the bond status in the top section, our bond series 2018A issued in 2020, the $57 million that we've been trying to spend through has had significant movement since last time, especially on the park side. So currently, previous years, we had $34 million. That's the same as the last time we met. Expenditures in fiscal year 2024, which is the city's fiscal year that ends June 30, so just ended, has $19.9 million that we've spent, which leaves us a cash balance of $3 million left. We do have encumbrances that represents obligations and commitments to pay, totaling $23 million. That's what will be paid over the next period of time, which will leave us an available cash balance at a negative. But that's okay, because we do anticipate going for bond late this calendar year or early next calendar year. We're in active conversations with our consultant, Piper Sandler, to figure out the best timing for the bond issuance. And we have $20 million of mayor and council committed funds that are waiting to be used. So we're not in any bad deficit. And we still have $3 million left to spend. With our current spend, that should probably be used up during the first quarter of our current fiscal year, which means by the next time we meet, we have probably gone through that cash balance.
Can I ask you just a little bit about the encumbrances?
Yes, sir.
So the vendors or contractors, they're willing to wait for some future reimbursement for their services?
That's a great question. We wouldn't hold up any payments to vendors. So vendors will be paid, and the cash at the city side is where the kind of the hold is at. So we'll spend money dipping into the cash balance that is pulled across the city. waiting for the influx of either bond money or mayor and council committed money. So it kind of floats the cash balance. Vendors to them or contractors or one-off payments, it's a blind spot. They don't even see how that happens. They just get paid as their contract states.
That's very reassuring.
Yes. Yeah. You'll see in the next section, the program expenditures. Since we last met, the column to the right will show our activity. So since the last time we met, Parks has actually spent about $6 million. No movement on golf. Connectivity, about $300,000. And Greenway is about $116,000. So the activity since last time is $6.4 million. Brings our total expenditures to the $54 million. The program spending commitments are, this fluctuates because really since the last time we met, some commitments have been paid, other commitments have been entered into. So the activity since the last meeting really encapsulates movement up and down, but net effect, $5.6 million of activity since the last time we met. The spend status is the one I'd like to point out today. Because when we, over the inception to now of the commission, we've been really focused on, wow, we're very far behind, but we're almost there on spending our commitment, 94% spent, so almost closing out that first bond series. And then, as you see that trend of high activity over the quarters as we've exited out of the pandemic and then moving forward, our next issuance plans to be about $55 million and should be no problem to be spent within this three-year time frame now that we're over that hump of delays and everything else.
So the fact that we've spent a lot of what we promised will help our bond rating or bids on bonds? Is that?
Yeah, our current, yes, sir. Chairman Spark, members of the commission, great question. Our delay in spend, we were able to not take any hit on our rate-ins or anything. What it did mean, though, is we kind of lost the interest earnings portion of it because we had to pull that money out of our interest-bearing accounts and put it in a non-interest-bearing. So when we hit that three-year time frame, that's the mechanism that happens. And then this current activity, every time we meet, then we pull those funds that we spent in that last quarter out of the non-interest bearing account, pay the obligations. So if we don't run into that three-year spend limitation on our next issuance, what that means is we get to get the benefits of that interest that then rolls into the program to pay admin fees and everything else that we can use it for.
So you're saying everything is right on time, right?
Yeah, we're catching up with our previous one. When we go for issuance of our next one, then that new time frame kicks in. So when we issue it later in this calendar year or beginning of next calendar year, then the clock starts on a three-year spend of that bond series. Based on the spend that you see here and the increased focus from Parks and Connections and that we're out of construction delays due to the pandemic, with this next three-year time span, we should be on target to spend that money. We don't anticipate having the same delays that caused the issue with the first issuance. It was issued pre-pandemic. Pandemic happened. That made it tough to spend within 3 years. We don't anticipate that with the next 3 years.
What is the interest-bearing account yield? What do you project?
That's a good question. I don't have it in front of me, but by the time I meet next time, okay. I'll have it for
address
you.
That.
Yes.
So do you anticipate then that there'll be monies available in the new calendar year to fund additional projects? Is that what you're saying about the next issuance of the bonds?
The project budgets are built on the complete $255 million commitment.
Okay.
So the bond issuance just is the cash inflow so that we can actually continue on. The benefit that we get, though, so they break the issuances up into multiple ones over that 255. I think the original language was we could do it in four. I think we're able to actually consolidate that if we wanted to. But with this, the next one, the $55 million, is in alignment with doing four issuance over the life. Because our Piper Sandler said that kind of is the best approach right now, and then we're just working out the approach. It was conceivable that that could have been combined into a higher issuance that then would still have that 3-year commitment. But if we spend the 55 million in like year two, that's fine too. We go out for another 55 and then a last issuance at the end for the remaining balance. So that's kind of the approach.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please. Nicole, Fife.
Yeah, I just wanted a reminder or refresher. It's, I think originally it was supposed to be a 3-year or a 3-phase bond program. What's the last year of the last phase? Like, what is that? What is that? I can't remember what year that is.
This one is, what, 2027? 28?
It's 28.
28.
Did you hear that, Nicole?
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Is that fiscal year 27, 28, something like that?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so the idea is to fully spend all the $225 million by then?
Correct. And the that's a great distinction also. The project phases are built on that three-phase approach. The bond issuance are kind of a separate layer there where you can go out 4 times of the issuances. They might not coincide. Like there's 3 phases to the program altogether. And then the cash influx can be in 4 different steps.
Good.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Flash, Flash is on now.
Yeah. Frank, do you have any questions? You're on mute, Frank. You're still on mute.
He didn't pay his bill. He didn't pay his bill.
Still.
It might be a settings issue for you.
You could type the question in the comments and we can address it that way also.
Put it up in chat there, Frank.
See, he didn't pay it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
We're waiting on Frank. Aaron, can I just want to be sure I understand then what you're describing. So there will be not an interruption then in being able to fund new projects as they become permitted and ready for bidding. Is that
correct?
What I'm understanding?
Yeah, no delay due to cash issues.
Sweet.
Okay. His question's in the chat.
Oh, okay. Can you read that, Aaron?
Yes, sir. How are we doing with the funds in general? Meaning, are we going to be penalized for not meeting the time frames? Thank you, Commissioner Flash. Great question. That ship has already sailed. So we didn't meet our 3-year commitment deadline with that first issuance of bonds. The penalty is the funds then have to leave our interest-bearing account and go into the non-interest-bearing.
Right.
Then we have to disclose that supposedly that will have no long-term impact on our next issuance, on our rating, or anything else. If that was to continue through like the next issuance and the one after, then a higher risk of that actually impacting more than it has. So currently, the only negative effect of that is that we lose the interest on the funds. Equates to roughly $700,000 because we didn't meet our time frame.
I think Frank's.
Does that answer your question, Frank?
Are we going to catch up on the usage?
And then the next question, are we going to catch up on the usage? Yes. So we our usage of the first issuance, we're at 94%. By the time we meet next quarter, we anticipate that will be fully met. We'll be at 100%. Spend of the first bond issuance. And then as we go forward into our next issuance of 55 million, we don't anticipate that we're going to hit the 3-year wall on that. Based on the current project spend plan, we should be able to utilize that 55 million well before 3-year timeframe.
Okay. Right. Do you have more, Aaron, on your finance?
Thank you. No, sir. That's all I have. If there's any other questions.
Okay, Frank, do you have anything more?
Frank just put in the chat, we better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is program updates. Colin, Justin, I guess you're sure.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give a quick update on Ryan. I know it says Ryan Fagan is one of the folks giving updates. I just wanted to make the commission aware that Ryan is still with the city. He's still involved in 407 projects, but he has accepted a position as our complete streets coordinator at the Department of Transportation and Mobility. And so what that means is you're going to be seeing a little less of him and unfortunately a little bit more of me. I'm sorry. So he'll still be here for some project updates, but he's not with us tonight. I did bring with us tonight Lee Miller, who's one of our new project managers, and also FAFS Reader is joining us virtually. And so I'm going to give a few project update highlights, and then I'm going to pass it over to Lee, and then Lee can pass it over to FAFS, because I thought it would just be a nice thing for the commission to meet our two new project managers that are focused on 407 project delivery.
Good. Thank you very much.
And I also want to share with you tonight something that I don't think you all have seen. And it's a map that has the status of all of our connections projects. Have you all seen this before?
I think so.
It wasn't in the packet.
It was not in the packet, but in the past you've shown the ones that are actual and the ones that are planned.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share my screen and we'll see if you've seen this version. This is something that we've been using internally for some time. You can see all the 407 connections projects are on here. There's colors and there's line types. And so the colors are showing the type of connections project. All the blue lines are the bicycle safety and mobility projects. The yellow lines are the pedestrian safety and walkability projects. And the orange or the reddish orangish lines, those are the greenways and the shared use paths. So this is just a handy tool for us that, you know, you all can also access if you're ever curious about the status. And I'll send an email to Aaron with the link as a follow up to this. But I just wanted to show this to you because I thought you'd think it was interesting.
Okay, now some of the blues are dashed. Those are in construction or?
Yes, thank you. I failed to explain the line types. Okay, so the dotted lines are pre-planning. The dashed lines are in design. And then the solid lines have been constructed. So I just wanted to, you know, I think the way we've done these updates in the past is because there were not that many projects, it was just Ryan and I, we were able to go through project by project. Given the volume of projects that we have now, that's starting to feel a little overwhelming to me. So I'm just going to hit a few highlights and then I'm going to have Lee and FAFS talk about their projects. So the first one I want to talk about is MacWay. And I'm going to kind of zoom in on these projects on the map so you can see them as I'm talking. This one isn't showing up, and I found this a glitch in the map today when I was preparing. It's on here, but it doesn't show up for some reason, and it's because of the project status. So there's a couple of kinks in the map that we're trying to work out currently. But the really good news about Marianne Cleveland Way shared use path is that the contractor got their notice to proceed on construction today. So that's going to finally start construction. That was one that we had some federal funding on to supplement. And as a result, there was a delay. But that's really exciting that that one's getting started. Another project that is about to go to construction very soon is Roger. And that's one that is up on the northwest side of town. And it's another one that unfortunately is not showing up right now, but it's right in this area. And so that's a pedestrian safety and walkability project. And we hope to start construction on late summer.
Is that the one we had problems with TEP access?
That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so I think
the commission's pretty familiar with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we finally worked through all those issues. Yeah. So that's good news. The other one that all the rest of them are showing up. And this one is the Blackledge Bicycle Boulevard project. And that's from Oracle Road to McCormick Park. I think many of you saw the announcement in the last newsletter that we got a $2.57 million grant from FHWA for that project. So the really good news is that that's more money to help shore up our financial situation when it comes to the connections projects. The unfortunate news is that means there's additional paperwork that we have to fill out for the federal government. So that did push the timeline back a little bit. So we're looking at a fall 2025 construction timeline. Just in case you're wondering what's going on and why, it's because we have to go back and do some additional analysis for environmental compliance and cultural resources assessment. We have to give that information to the feds. They review it and then they give us the money.
Are you going to have to inform the communities that pass through there will be a delay?
Yes, and we've been doing that. So I sent two emails today on this topic to neighborhood associations that were inquiring about the status. So we've updated it on the project website to give people a sense of when they can expect the project to occur. And then we've also been doing outreach to the neighborhood associations and to the folks that attended some of our earlier outreach events when we were, you know, in the beginning of design. The next one I wanted to talk about is the 6th Avenue Protected Bike Lane. And so that one was one where we did an initial alternatives analysis to look at what the facility type options could be. And we have decided to move forward with what's called a parking protected bike lane. And that one is, see if I can find that one on the map here. It's just north of downtown. So this one may be another one where we need to sort out a glitch. Because it should be showing up in this area, but I've not seen it. Right, Jim? Shouldn't it be?
Between the two green rectangles there.
Right here.
Carolina Park and Anza Park. So it should be that line there, right there. That's,
yeah.
That's it.
And I bet if we click on it, it'll show up. Yep, there it is. Yeah, so we are moving forward with a parking protected bike lane design, which is consistent with what was in the ballot language for the voters. We had a couple of different options that we explored, but that's the one that we felt made the most sense and that we could construct within the available budget. We do have Mr. Jim Block here with us today, who I think is planning to speak during the call to the audience and interested to hear, met with Jim and have been meeting with the neighbors. There are some questions and concerns around that facility type that we're planning to move forward with. Our goal is to work with Jim and the rest of the neighborhood to make sure that we're being responsive to their concerns and tweak the design as needed. So that's where we're at, and I'll leave it at that, and I'll let Jim speak to it more during the call to the audience.
So that the southern boundary of that is just the subway that comes up 6th Avenue, right?
It's actually one block north of that, because there is a path now that's gone in as part of the Downtown Links project that provides that final connection. But yes, it does connect to that. And that's kind of the intent, is to get it connected up to that new path, shared use path along McClovia Barraza, which is part of the Downtown Links project. Two more quick ones. St. Mary's Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, which is over on the west side of town. We had two successful events recently for that. One of them was a block party where we actually closed down Grande. This is the project here. We closed down Grande for a couple blocks in the Menlo Park area, and we had a DJ, and we had free food and popsicles, and a lot of folks came out. Lisa was there.
It
Thanks
was
for coming.
That sounds good. Guys missed it.
Yes, good feedback.
When it rained, it stopped, and when it was over, the rain started again.
Yeah, so it cooled us down. It got all of our design drawings soaking wet.
Yeah,
but they were still legible, and people still gave us feedback, and we passed out little cards that directed people to our interactive map. And then we had a follow-up event too, where this time we laminated the events. And of course it didn't rain. But I think that was a success. The interactive map is still open on that project, so if commissioners are interested in giving feedback, if you Google St. Mary's Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, you'll get it. And I can also include a link for Aaron for that one as well. And then one more project. The Alamo Wash Greenway. This is a very exciting one. This is the largest dollar amount project in the Connections bundle. And it's a 9 mile. Whoa, that was way too far. It is a 9 mile urban greenway that goes from Rito River Park out to the eastern end of the aviation bikeway. So it is this red dotted line right here. So it basically goes through all of Midtown. It's a very ambitious project. I think it's, you know, has the potential to be very transformational. It's going to be very challenging. There's a lot of issues.
Yeah, there are a lot of issues.
A lot. And the good news, Frank, is that we have a national expert on bicycle and pedestrian facility design that we are currently negotiating with for the design consultant. It was a competitive process because we knew it was a big project, important project, one to get right. So we're bringing in you know, somebody with national experience, and they have a local engineering sub-consultant on their team. I can't tell you the name of the firm yet because we're still negotiating, but we're all pretty excited about getting this project started. And I think we're anticipating a public kickoff sometime in the fall.
I have a couple comments. I believe Alamo Wash actually extends back to the Boneyard.
Yes.
Further far south.
And the So you're saying, let me click on it. So
all the way down to practically Nicaragua Drive, south of Gulf Links, I believe.
Yeah, so it kind of, it's showing ending here at Escalante.
Yeah, and that leg would be very important because those neighborhoods have no bike designated bikeways whatsoever. Be a great catchment. And the other point is I understood the intent of the city council was to honor Mayor Rothschild by co-naming the Alamo Way for him.
That's right, and that's a good reminder. We should make sure we include that in our project materials.
In the nomenclature, we should include that, I think.
Thank you for that. Okay, well, that concludes.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Yeah, just a comment. You're right, it's a very ambitious project. One concern that I have living in the Fort Lowell area, I'm curious as to, well, and I know you're only just starting on it, but if the bike path is going to cross Fort Lowell Road between Craycroft and Swan, it's going to be interesting because traffic is now using that as the Indianapolis 500. And I don't know how you're going to get across that road. I applaud you for trying, but it's become dangerous. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah, thanks for that feedback. You're right. That's one of many challenges. The good news is I think we have some tools in our toolbox that enable us to cross busy streets. You know, the push button crossings that we use on our bike boulevards and some of our pedestrian safety and walkability projects, they've got a red indication for drivers, and we get about 97% compliance with those. So that's our intent. And I don't know specifically at Fort Lowell if we'll put one of those in or not, but that's something that we're going to need to study in more detail.
Well, you know, that would be something I think that would be applauded on Fort Lowell Road, mainly because we're looking, first of all, we've been looking at trying to get that road repaved. But then if we get it repaved, they'll go even faster. So we're looking at putting speed bumps in. But if you put a what do you call it, a hawk crossing? I think that's what they refer to them as. Yeah. That'll help slow it down a bit. So good luck with that. Seriously, I think it's a great project.
I'd also like to point out that crossing when Alamo Wash crosses Glen, very high traffic. It's become an arterial because of TMC and the related medical business. And then further south, Alamo Wash, really on Fifth Street. Again, same thing because of the distance between the lights. Right now, the state of the Fifth Street looks like it's been carpet bombed, but once that gets repaved, we're really going to have a high speed problem with crossing there. There is no crossing there except for the school crossing right now. It's a very dangerous street.
Thank you for that. Okay, if there's no other questions about those, I'm going to pass it to Lee Miller, and I'm passing the computer too, so he can show you.
I'd like to welcome you to the
Thank you.
Bullpen here.
Yeah, it feels great to be here. I'm Lee, the newest member of the planning team at DTM, the project manager for several of the 407 projects, which I'm really excited about. I have a background in transportation planning on the public and private side, and I'm excited to be here in Tucson and working on these projects. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll be fairly brief, but welcome some questions here. And I think I'll just start east to west. And on the east side here, I'm excited about this because there are, east of the Pantano Wash, there are eight different, I guess seven different bicycle boulevard projects and one pedestrian safety and walkability project that we'll be pursuing under one design contract. It's a lot more efficient for us this way. And I think a part of that is really neat is the east side, as was mentioned earlier, doesn't have hardly any designated bicycle facilities at all right now. And there will be kind of a complete network that's placed there, you know, I won't say overnight, but at one time. So that's quite exciting. It's nearly 17 miles worth. So it's, you know, it's quite a bit of linear bike routes that's going to be implemented. There's a pedestrian safety and walkability project here on Vicksburg, which connects to the high school here at Camino Seco. And so that section, I know you're familiar with the pedestrian safety walkability, but that will receive landscaping and sidewalks to improve the access to the high school here, which is important. Another great feature of these east side projects are we're going to be taking advantage of two existing connections to the loop trail system that's on the east side of the Pantano, in addition to making three new connections, which is really great for more people to have access to that amazing regional trail system. So I'm really looking forward to that portion of it. One other quick note is that a little too far there. There is a section here that is overlapping with the Collector Street program on Sarnoff and Kenyon here between Broadway and 22nd.
That's Jesse Owens, right?
Yeah, right next to Jesse Owens Park. Exactly. He's also receiving some 407 improvements. And so this is a nice opportunity where we can actually save just a bit of money by using the Collector Street program to kind of help us out here. So that's also kind of a nice feature. There are several elementary schools that are being connected to parks through here. So I'm really excited to begin this. We are approaching design and finalizing a contract with a designer, and it should be early-ish fall when we start the public engagement process for this. So that is the East Side Bicycle Boulevard.
Just a query, are you working with any nonprofit organizations like Living Streets Alliance that has a walk to school program as far as their input into the design?
Not at the moment, but that's a great idea because we're connecting to so many schools, is tapping into those organizations. And yeah, we should reach out to LSA to see what kind of work they're doing there right now. But the plan is to do outreach to each of these schools that we're going to be connecting to. Because we also have to think about kind of the pickup drop off system near their school and give some attention to how these projects will affect that as well. I will move on to Glen Street here, which is 3 miles from Oracle on the west to Country Club to the east. Glen Street has some pretty patchy sidewalks right now, along with not a lot of crossing opportunities except for at the signalized locations. So it's a great opportunity to improve access along and across the corridor here. So again, lighting, sidewalks, landscaping are all part of the scope here. This is also, we hope we're working on finalizing a scope and a fee. So this is another one that will be kicking off the design process very soon, and we'll be starting public engagement in the early fall.
My only comment is that if you go directly east past Country Club, you get to McCormick Park,
right,
which is a neighborhood destination.
Correct.
Just like a couple blocks north of Glen's right there now.
Okay, yeah.
Just as a consideration, as long as you're thinking in terms of making Glen a more walkable passageway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good comment. So that is Glen. And then my last project that I wanted to update y'all on is in Ward 1, which is San Marcos Boulevard and La Cholla Boulevard are both bicycle boulevard projects. It's a little shy of 4 miles length for these two. And this connects to, this has got a lot of important community connections here. The high school, which I'm sure y'all know, and I'm just drawing a blank on the exact name of this high school, is on
Cholla.
Yeah, that's right. Is on the north end, connecting to the community center and park here, San Juan, along with this nice linear park with a playground here on San Marcos, which is really great. And then as we continue down, there's also an elementary school here at 36th. Followed by Kennedy Park on the south end. So a lot of community assets here that will be connected by this project. This one will begin a little bit later in the outreach process. I'm going to focus on kind of kicking off these two, and this will kind of fall a little bit behind, so it'll be more like winter until this kicks off in earnest. So that's a brief update on my projects. So I'll pass it on to Fafs, who's joining us on Teams.
Thank you. That's very exciting. You've got some really great projects.
Hello, good evening, commissioners. My name is Fafs Reeder. I'm the other new project manager in DTM planning. And I wish I could be there with you tonight. Unfortunately, this meeting coincides. I'm hosting the Dunbar Spring Neighborhood Association at my house. And our power is still out and the internet is out. So I'm trying to be in both places at once. So I apologize about not being in person, but I'd like to meet you in person at the next opportunity. I just want to highlight a couple projects that I'm working on. The first one, Lee is working on those 8 projects east of the Pantano Wash. And I have a complement of 4 bicycle boulevards west of the Pantano Wash. That one there is Irving, and then cutting east and west is Kenyon Eastland. And then if we go down south, a little below that, that's Calle Marte. And then finally south below that is Stella Road. So these four bicycle boulevards, we'll be packaging those together. And I'm right now in negotiations with a consultant to work on that project. So very excited about those, connecting up a lot of schools and parks, and providing a bunch of connectivity. And it will also really interface well with the Alamo Wash project when that gets going too. And then the other project I want to mention is the El Paso and Southwestern Greenway. I'm working on the northern last mile of that project that's going to connect Cushing and Granada, where the current parkway ends there at the fire station, and it will connect it up to St. Mary's and give connectivity to the Heroic Heroes Park there, which has basketball courts, baseball, diamonds, and also a swimming pool, Ori Pool. And then also Davis Bilingual Elementary is right there. So that's going to be a fantastic project. It'll give people access to eventually a 6 mile long greenway all the way down to the Kino Environmental Complex.
Yes. That's really exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that greenway is one of the longest pregnancies I've ever heard about. Very good. Well, welcome aboard, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Anybody in the commission? Wow, this is staggering and delighting to hear about these projects. Just great.
Yeah. I think we're really focused on catching up, because we know we've been behind, and so we're really excited to have two new PMs that are really focused on 407 work. And I do see, I don't want to take too much time, I know we're kind of, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, but Ben Elias is also on the team's call, and I see him raising his hand, but I don't want to interrupt Nicole. So go ahead, Nicole, and then we can turn it over. We can have Ben introduce himself.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to ask, the base map for this map, could you pull in the county parks? Because there's even more connections that you're not showing here. Like, for instance, between Cholla High School and Kennedy Park, there's a big trails park that the county has, and Tucson Mountain Park and so on. It may be good to see those too.
Good suggestion, Nicole. Yeah, I'll work with our GIS folks and see if we can pull that data in.
Just a second, what Nicole's saying is we also put the loop in the map, so it's the transportation access is completely understandable.
Yeah. Okay.
Benjamin, did you have a comment? You have your hand up.
Commissioner Spark, or Chair Spark and commissioners, I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Ben Elias. I'm also a project manager with the Department of Transportation and Mobility. I am overseeing one of the 407 projects. That's going to be the Grande Avenue Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, very close by what Colin had been talking about at the St. Mary's Pedestrian Safety and Walkability Project, that intersects with Menlo Park. And the project extends are from Congress to St. Mary's. So it's a small project, 0.7 miles, but there's a lot of room for improvement. And we also have the ability to layer this with some Prop 411 safety funds, and wrap that into a project along Congress Street, just a little bit to the south. So we're very excited about that. We were able to do some public engagement with that St. Mary's project at the same time, and we heard some real excitement and positivity from the surrounding neighbors. Just wanted to drop that note. Thank you all.
Well, thank you. That area is real safety problem. It's a high use and major access, not only for vehicles, but pedestrians and bicycles. So it's really needed. It's a major arterial.
And if I may say, Ward 1, the whole community is in on it, as well as Fuga. We've been hosting these block parties and bringing a lot of awareness to the community. And we got a good show of community response, all positive.
Good.
Very excited for it.
Thank you. Well, welcome, and we look forward to seeing you non-virtually here at the meeting in October.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. So I think we wrapped up that session. This has been a very exciting layout of what your plans are, and gosh, we really look forward to seeing these evolve. Okay. Parks, Jasmine Chan, return of Son of Lassie here. It's the old stamping grounds.
Different perspective, though. So I have some updates and then a clarification to bring to the commission tonight. I'll start with the updates. So currently open, that were not open last time we met, are the splash pads at Freedom Park and Fort Lowell Park. The bathhouse at Fort Lowell and consequently the pool will open on August 1st is what we have confirmed from our contractor as of this morning. So that facility will be fully available for use shortly. And then a series of playgrounds are also open for use. Parkview Park, Villa Serena Park, Rudy Garcia Park, those playgrounds are open. And Villa Serena and Rudy Garcia do have their playground shades as well. Barrio Nepal Park began construction in May, and that has been progressing here with some earthwork and making sure various submittals are being reviewed and getting items ordered for that. And we have currently open a survey on playground selections over at Chuck Ford Lakeside Park. That one closes in a week-ish or so. And we've gone to submit again for a federal land water conservation grant for Jacobs Park. So that's going back through the federal process. We should be hearing back in the fall sometime. That project is going through the permitting process for that whole plan currently. And then also wanted to let you all know it was in the ward updates, but wanted to flag that this for you as well, that Columbus Park, the construction of the phase one fields is currently on hold due to an issue in the right of way along Silverbell. There is an existing federal permit, a 404 permit that we were unaware of as the parks team. So we are working with our partners at the Arizona
State. What's a 404 permit?
It's an archaeological sensitivity zone. So we had a permit through the Transportation Mobility Project widening Silverbell. And we are working with, so that permit is issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. And we're working with them as well as the State Historic Preservation Office and Arizona State Museum to understand how we're moving forward from.
So there might be additional excavations and research.
Yeah, additional research needs to be done on the work that was completed over there. So all construction on that project has been put on hold. Yep. Any questions on that note?
I had a couple things just going through. One that I really have a lot of feeling about is the Cushing Street Skate Park. I see that the design is still on review or something. It seems to be moving so slowly, and it,
mm-hmm.
can you help us understand what? I thought this was fully designed. Maybe I misunderstood a while back.
No, we just received 100% design documents within the last couple of weeks, and that includes some exploration of a concessions based off of a concession stand on site based off of a question from Rio Nuevo Board. Although as we're working through the permitting process with the Arizona Department of Transportation, sure. It doesn't seem we'll be able to have a commercial facility on that location. But we are at 100% design at present. We're just working through making the construction documents match the dollars that we have available for
construction. So you cannot have a commercial operation like a food stand or something like that there?
No, that sounds like that will not be permitted.
That's
by
kind of
state.
Disappointing yeah. to the users, I'm sure.
I don't think it. But anyway, I was wondering, you're keeping the community in the loop of everything that's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have several folks who were in fairly regular conversation about asking about what donations have been coming in, and we've been providing those updates as we get those.
Another question, and this is going back a couple years, is the Menlo Park irrigation problem. I know originally was partially a landfill or something, but this has been at least 2 years that this has been looked at. So it's way over budget to try to remedy this. Is that the problem?
Yes, that is part of the problem.
No, we just recently, before Mike Ortega left, we discussed. So adjacent to that, it's interesting the way that Menlo Park is laid out, but TUSD has some land. They actually allow us through an agreement to facilitate public access. So we're going to see if they'd be interested in us actually acquiring the parcel so we can do those improvements to the parcel. And then we can come up with perhaps doing like some GSI solutions to the original parkland that we can't improve. So we're in that process right now with real estate.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Very good. Francisco Elias Esquire said working with the HUD process. So this is having to go back to the federal government housing in order to get the fundings for this project.
Yeah. So that project is partnered with a community development block grant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's running through our housing and community development department. So as part of those funds to secure that, we need to go through the HUD process.
Mm-hmm. Last one was Robert Price. There's some jargon here. It refers to CMAR solicitation for workable threats. I have no idea.
CMAR stands for Construction Manager at Risk. It's a contracting mechanism for being able to bring on the contracting agency while we're doing design work so that the contractor is providing cost estimates for construction while we're developing the design so we can refine as we're in the design process how much the construction is going to cost.
And then they can modify what they're bidding to do the work.
So they don't end up bidding for it since they already have the contract to do the work.
Agreed construction.
Yeah, so they come up with a guaranteed maximum price for construction once we're at construction documents.
Okay. That's the risk part.
Yes, that's the risk part. They do get paid for their estimating work. So there's that payment. Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And then the clarification, so there is a memo that Greg sent along with the materials regarding pool slide flumes. So in the bond itself, it listed replace pool slide and also replace pool slide flume as two different project types with very different budgets. So the pool slide replacement budget in the bond ranged from $288,000 to $337,000. And pool slide flume replacements had budgets ranging from $31,500 to $72,000. We have recently completed two pool slide replacement projects, one at Mansfield Park. That one came in at $783,000. Wow. And Freedom Pool, that one came in at $454,000. So pool slide flume replacements definitely cannot involve a complete slide replacement. It's a complete order of magnitude of difference in cost. So what the department has done is we've gone and received some condition assessments for all of our pool slides. And there are four slide plumes that were included in the bond package. So that's at Archer, Clements, El Pueblo, and Quincy Douglas. And based off of those assessments, the slide flumes themselves need to be refurbished, but they don't necessarily need to be completely replaced. So the clarification here is for us to do a refurbishment rather than a replacement of pool slide flumes.
Okay. Do you need a commission action to accept that change in definition or not?
I would be more comfortable if there was BOC action.
Yeah. All right. So, Commissioner, make a motion.
Clarification.
Yeah, between pool slides and the pool slides, with flumes.
The refurbishment as opposed to a replacement of pool slide flumes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to make that motion.
Okay. Second.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Frank. Okay. More discussion on this?
Yeah. Does this mean that the refurbished flumes will then be have a longevity that's commensurate with the replacement? Or
probably not commensurate.
It probably won't give you the same number of years that a brand new slide would, but it would extend the lifespan.
Substantially.
And then we will, if we're fortunate to go for a second bond, we can always reassess at that time if looking at a projection of, say, another 9-year program, would we recommend in that sequencing to do the replacement? But they were in fairly good condition and could be resurfaced. And I think it's just a more practical approach.
Okay. So when you resurface them, do you apply wax so the people sliding on them slide down easily?
Well, that would be
they get stuck.
That would be the final spot of it. But they will repaint them. They will sand paint, and then the wax is the final. Yeah.
But then the water assists with that movement as well.
Yes. And actually, it's interesting. The gentleman who came did tell us about a certain wax that we could use at Menlo.
Yeah,
to help it be a little.
Was that Tim?
I don't know the gentleman's name, but
yes, I inquired about that if he could go and work some magic over there, right, put some wax on the.
Yeah, I think the staff have bought it.
Is that the same wax you use on skis?
I don't know enough to know that answer. Okay. I just know he made a recommendation, and when they tried it, it was working.
Call the question. Roll call, please.
Commissioner John Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Brian Anderson.
Use that up.
Mr. Anderson, Ryan Anderson, if you're voting, you are on mute. We'll make one more call. Commissioner Ryan Anderson. Commissioner Blake.
Yes.
Commissioner Flash.
Yes.
Commissioner.
Yes.
Gotcha. Commissioner Fife.
Yes.
Commissioner Kretschmer.
Kretschmer.
Yes.
Let's see. Commissioner, our Chairman Spark.
Yes.
Commissioner Vega.
Yes.
Passes.
Thank you very much.
Hey, there was Ryan Anderson. Sorry about that. Yes, I was a yes as well.
Thank you. Okay. Overview of project change guidelines. You sent that out. And that has not changed, right, from the original adoption that we. Or is the criteria of change?
Chairman Spark, members of the commission. It was on there in case it needed to be addressed, but it is the exact same guidance I think everybody on the commission received last time.
Yes.
And then we're going to move into the part of that. Do you need any clarification on the guidance before we move on to the next items?
Okay. I think we're all set.
Sit on that.
Okay. Next item, parks, scope of change.
Yeah, so a scope change at Keeling Desert Park. So this is a small sort of pocket park off of Glen. And
it's Glen and where?
Glen and what are the crossings?
First Avenue and Stone.
Thank you.
This is Joe Barr, our project man, one of our project managers. Healing Desert Park is one of his projects. He's here for any questions you want.
Go first, and Glenn.
Yeah, if you're on Glenn and you pass the elementary school, if you blink, you miss it, because it was formerly two residential lots that got gifted to the city, and the city developed a sculpture park there.
Thank you. I'll have to go by and take a look. Thank you.
Parking is a challenge directly near that park. So there's, I don't know, Joe has some tips for where to park to go across.
Yeah, there's no parking lot for the park, Mr. Chairman. So you would have to just ride across the street. Usually I just go down that street and park my car and then cross Glen to get into the park.
Or ride your bike.
Or ride your bike.
That's right.
Or walk.
Take the bus, walk down. Of items to note, there's two scenarios for any sort of project changes. So that would be any technical constraints, or we get input that says, you know, there might be something of different or greater value from the community. Also important is anything that is a deferred maintenance element is not eligible for change, and any project changes have to be accomplished within budget. So since the beginning of this year, our staff, as well as the police department, have been engaged with the Keeling Neighborhood Association about ongoing criminal activity in the park. So our staff, so this would be Greg, and I believe Lara was in a meeting with the community in the park on January 6th of this year, talking about what concerns folks have and what they would like to see in their park. And then we also had a meeting with the Neighborhood Association at the end of March with, you know, what other items could there be to consider for this park. We had an open community survey that was available for 3 weeks, and 75% of those respondents lived within a mile of the park, so very, you know, localized to that park. Priorities from that survey and discussions that were held with the neighbors and neighborhood association were to improve lighting, to remove walls that are visual barriers, to improve visibility into the park from the street, create a half basketball court, construct fencing along the back of the park, and then new landscaping. So the Parks Department has $144,450 from the bond to replace the playground. However, based on community input from the survey and the conversations, we're recommending to change the scope of the bond project and implement park improvements based on community input. There are certainly more items on the list than we can fund with the bond amount. So we've also submitted a grant request to the Tohono O'odham Nation for an additional $75,000 to contribute. Are there any questions about the project?
So the dream list is what dollar amount from the community?
I'm sorry, so, Mr. Chairman, what's your question?
You went back to the community and they had a dream list. And what's the amount, potential dollar figure for the dream list as opposed to what we...
Well, I can tell you we worked with a contractor to get a rough order of magnitude, so not an estimate like a bid, but a rough order of magnitude for some items that we had identified on a scope that was $188,000. So we could probably work with that contractor and get it down a little bit, but since we're working with the TO Nation to potentially get a grant, we could potentially expand the scope. And I think besides the basic things we pointed out here, the community would like to see some more landscaping improvements. There was some pretty landscaping 15, 20 years ago that's not so pretty anymore. So we can certainly make some improvements in that area, if that answers your question.
Yes. Okay, so what do you want the commission to do as far as adjusting the description of what's being done for Keeling Desert Park?
So currently in the bond, it's identified as a playground replacement.
I see. So we want to expand the language so you can encompass more assets.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Does the commission understand what we're talking about? All right. So somebody make a motion to expand the scope of assets.
Frank has his hand up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just want to know if you can't get the money from the Tohono Nation, do you force choice rank what you can do?
Mr. Flash and Mr. Chairman, yes, if we do get the grant from the TO Nation, we'll probably hire a consultant and do a little more analysis and expand the things as I've described, like to get better landscaping, etc. And if we don't, we'll probably do a design build with a job order contractor, and we will basically compact the scope at that time, you know, to get as much as possible. So one example would be the neighbors and I and the rest of the staff would really like to see the back side of the property have a wall that matches the walls on the side. That's going to be a pretty expensive improvement. If we have budget constraints, that'll probably just be a fence as an example.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Okay.
So what do you need a motion on?
You need a motion to expand the scope of improvements for Keeling Desert Park.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we expand it.
Scope of improvements.
Scope of improvement, yes.
Second, please.
I second it.
Okay. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner John Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Ryan Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Blake.
Aye.
Commissioner Flash.
Aye.
Commissioner Fife.
Yes.
Commissioner Kretschmer.
Aye.
Commissioner Chairman Spark.
Yes.
And Commissioner Vega.
Yes. Unanimous. Thank you. Thank you for bringing this forward. This is a great thing to change the vision there and impact so positively the neighborhood so they can envision what their park could do for them.
Yeah, the neighborhood really worked with us closely.
Great. Okay. We come to the most exciting part of our meeting. We have a poll for the audience. I know we have Mr. Jim Locke. Are there any other people that want to speak to us?
We didn't email ahead of time.
You're still welcome to speak to us. But I'm going to recognize Mr. Block. It's so nice to have you here. I mean, for those of you who don't know, he served the city as the head of the Department of Transportation, and it's such a pleasure to work with him, particularly mass transit in the city.
Thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon, commissioners. I'm going to start my 3-minute clock right now, because otherwise you'll need to throw a shoe at me. I'm going to go on and on. And I do also want to note my parliamentary interpretation of the rules associated with call of the audience is that since this item, and I'm going to speak to the 6th Avenue protected bike lane, was on the agenda and discussed earlier, you can ask me questions and I can respond. So as opposed to if it had not been on the agenda, could not. So that being the case, I will start my clock and see if I can get done in 3 minutes. So anyway, thank you. West University is the area bound by Speedway on the north, 6th on the south, Stone on the east, Park Avenue on the east, and Stone Avenue on the west. We have already enjoyed two bike boulevard projects being implemented within our boundaries, the 5th Street bike boulevard that Colin has worked on, as well as the University Boulevard project. In the case of the University Boulevard project, a protected bike lane was temporarily installed between 6th Avenue. There were some operational challenges associated with that, and the neighbors became kind of sensitized to their operations. And so the protected bike lane that's being proposed to 6th Avenue has some of our neighbors expressing concern. And I'm here to just set the table that those concerns exist, whether or not we need to come back and ask for modification of the bond language based upon the alternatives that Colin's team is able to work with, requiring changes, we'll pass that along. The key question or issue that we have is that we are a historic neighborhood. We predate the automobile. We are large number of homes without off-street parking. So on-street parking is very important to the viability of our neighborhood. In 2016, Mayor Rothschild and Dr. Sparks was also associated with that. There was an initiative to try to make home ownership in the neighborhood surrounding the university more accessible to the community. Clearly, home ownership is as green and as alternate modes thinking as we might like to be in Tucson, you still got to have a parking space if you own a home to really get around and be able to manage. So we're concerned about the parking along 6th Avenue associated with the protected bike lane concept. And at this point in time, it puts the parking next to an 11-foot travel lane and provides only 7 feet for that parking. And then the parking is then protecting the bike lane from the through traffic, and then we have the sidewalk area. The concerns that neighbors have expressed to me as the chairman of the transportation committee and the messenger to you tonight, because I have my own feelings with respect to pros and cons associated with it, primarily have to do with safety and accessibility and mobility. There are properties that do rely on the on-street parking for their primary mode of parking. There are families there where strollers need to be loaded into vehicles, and oftentimes, oh, there's my 3 minutes is up already. Anyway, so we have issues associated with safety, associated with the parking, the need to be able to, on the driver's side, be able to open your door, safely put children in the car seat behind you, deal with mobility assistive devices such as walkers and possibly wheelchairs, with the configuration that the Department of Transportation Mobility is moving towards, that presents some challenges. And the protected nature of the bike lane is limiting the alternatives that DTM can have us consider. Okay. So with that, I will
thank you for your comments.
Stop my comments and leave it to that.
From the design standpoint, is there still some fluidity to the design at this point or not?
Yes, there is. Although we do intend to move forward with the parking protected configuration, things like the dimensions of the travel lanes and the parking lane, that's something we can look into. Okay. And certainly we want to address as many of these concerns as we possibly can through the design effort.
Right. So we can bring this back item back for the next meeting?
If required, again, if we're in conflict with the bond language at the end of the day. I just wanted to provide a heads up and provide my responsibility as the chair of the Transportation Committee to express the concerns that we don't believe the current plan has fully addressed. And we've gotten some feedback that the protected nature of the bike lane is constraining some of the options that could be possibly.
I'm still unclear as to what is being proposed. Is it that you have curb, bike lane, parking, like remove? Is that how parking protected bike lane operates then?
Yeah, so we looked at two options during the first phase of the what we call the alternatives analysis. And one option was having the parked cars stay exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And then adding
the curb.
Against the curb,
okay.
Then having a bike lane that had two buffers on it. So one buffer would be so that if the parked car door opens, it's not opening into the bike lane.
Okay.
And then the other buffer is an additional buffer for leaving vehicles just for that added comfort. So that was one option we looked at. However, the bond language says it will be a curb separated bike lane. And so with a curb, in order to achieve curb separation and retain the on-street parking, the way to do that is to move the parking out from the curb,
yeah,
put the bike lane up against the curb, and then you can have a curb in between the parked cars and the bike lane. So the bond language on this one is more specific than most projects. And so we are a little bit constrained. If the commission directed us to consider an option that didn't have a curb, we would have more options to Jim's, to his point.
Thank you. Okay. I think we need to bring this back as an item. But I think your point is really, it is unusual. In general, we as a commission are not involved with the design of the projects. That's a general rule because we get into the weeds, and plus we're not charged with that at all. But since it was specifically in the bond language, I think it's legitimate to bring it back for the commission's consideration.
I think that sounds great. My only concern is timing. Maybe we can talk about the potential to have a special meeting discussion.
We could certainly have a special meeting. I need some distraction this summer.
Mr. Chair, Colin, what level of design are you at right now?
So we've completed our alternatives analysis and concept phase. And right now we've just started, like 3 weeks ago, we had the kickoff meeting for final design. So in some ways we haven't really started.
Yeah,
it's just that we've made a decision that we're advancing a particular alternative, and that alternative is not completely in alignment with what the neighborhood says they want.
Okay.
And it's not the whole neighborhood. We have not brought this forward and had the neighborhood association board act on this. We have just some outspoken souls who are worthy to have their concerns vetted before we move forward with this. We're really excited to have our new project manager moving forward this project. Again, Fifth Street was successful. University, which ended up going back to a buffered bike lane, ended up working out quite well. And we're very optimistic that, again, we did get some national experts to come in and help us with this. I do want to note that, you know, loss of parking is of a critical concern for the neighborhood and clearly the businesses south of Fifth Street. And in fact, in full disclosure, not to get Colin into trouble, but the curb separation is going to be recommended by the department to be removed south of Fifth Street so that no loss of on-street parking occurs. Because if you were to be a scholar of downtown parking and have read any of the material generated by the International Parking Institute, a on-street parking space in front of a business is worth $150,000 a year. And that's a number from 10 years ago. Yeah. Now, for residential properties, what the value is maybe only
$20,000. Anyway. Stop there.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, so just one quick question.
Please identify yourself we can be part of the official record.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yes. I'm Bill Seary. This is Marcy Seary.
So Bill Seary and Marcy Seary, we live across the street from Jacobs Park. So we have questions about Jacobs Park for 17 years. Also both grew up in Tucson, all over Tucson. So.
Oh, quick question for Jasmine. You mentioned that there's an issue with a water reclamation or something project or permit. And could you elaborate on that? You just mentioned it.
I don't know.
I thought you said Jacobs Park, there was a water recycling or water, something about water. And I didn't quite get it all. In fact, maybe I didn't get any of it.
Land Water Conservation Fund. So it's a granting opportunity for funding for the project. So we're applying for funds through a program called Land Water Conservation Fund.
For Jacobs Park?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Is that holding up everything else?
Yes.
Okay.
So yeah, we were just here to find out what was happening. If you were to go back and recorded videos of the Zooms leading into that, you'll find a little picture of me listening. And then I did follow up later and was told it was approved and that they were waiting. And we're in social work. Well, he's a therapist and I work with teen moms. So we're not in transportation or park.
But you know, uses of the park.
But we use the park. We have two kids who are now actually 17 and 20.
Oh, so I did have some fresh faces here.
And we appreciate with. We appreciate what you do.
Okay. So, thank you. So I'm going to close the call to the audience. All right. The next meetings are, if we don't have an interval, emergencies, supernumerary meetings, will be October 21st, just before Halloween. And then we move to January next year, the 13th. I think there were a few things that were raised tonight as far as future agenda items. I would like to bring back again the loop signage directing riders, bicyclists, and pedestrians to the Tucson bikeways. I know Ryan's now distracted, but please let's try and wrap that up. For what I'd like to, is we're talking about maps, and if we can have a map out where Tucson bikeways interface with the loop, and then we can designate where there's signage on the loop directing to what we've invested as far as our bikeways. That's what I really would like. I don't, is maybe it'll be incomplete, but at least we'll know where, how many intersections there are and how much signage. I mean, if we're talking about dollar figures, maybe even have to find a dollar figure. Maybe that's, I don't know, whether the county is concerned about their signage, what signs they use or what, but let's try to move this a little forward. Thank you.
What's your concern there? I'm not quite following what you're asking for.
We have our Tucson bikeways that often approximate or go to the loop.
Okay.
For instance, there is a Mission Avenue Fair.
Yeah, no, I'm getting what you're saying.
Yes, right, yeah. There. Okay. We have a sign that says directs that there's a loop if you're on the bikeway.
Uh-huh.
But if you're on the loop, there's no sign telling you
what's coming up.
That you could get on the Michigan's Avenue Fair.
Yeah.
My prime example is the end of Mountain Avenue. When you go, you're basically a block from the loop, and there's no way in the world you'd know that.
Mm.
Now, and there are all kinds of bicyclists who use it because they found out that. But why not get some signage?
Yeah. So you're talking about signage then on the cities, within the cities right away, that would direct them towards county maintained.
Yeah, it goes both sides.
But no,
not great.
Okay.
But we're in the 21st century. We're trying to communicate with our constituents. I mean.
Yeah. All right. Seems legit.
Okay.
So, Chairman.
Yes.
So I have clarification. So future agenda item is update on loop signage, possibly to include the map or graphic where the intersections are at.
Correct. Yes.
And then funding concerns, if any.
Yeah. If there are, I mean, maybe there is some monies that we can find to remedy it. Maybe that, I don't know what the stall is from the county side, but maybe that's it. I don't know. Anyhow, we were dependent on Ryan to try to parse this out. Staff or commission announcements?
Did we have any other future agenda items?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It sounded like there might be some appetite for the other piece. Commissioner Flash, you have your hand up.
Just a couple of things. First, I want to apologize for being late. Second, whenever I hear someone talk about the loop in Michigan Avenue, I think of my hometown, Chicago. So that's just clarification for me. And third, probably most importantly, I really appreciate Aaron's rundown on the financials, because from my perspective, the most important thing is that we have the money to do the things we want to do. And so that's the reason for my questions along that line. Thank you.
Now, we value you as a financial hawk. We're just lay people. They're struggling with that. Thank you.
Hey, Commissioner Fife.
Yeah, so has Nicole.
I mean, following up on Frank, I appreciate that we have the money for the projects. My concern is how we're going to actually get the rest of the projects completed by 2028, because it seems like really Herculean task at this point. So I'm wondering if we can have a agenda item talking about, you know, what may be some of the challenges to doing that. You know, is one of the constraints project, you know, enough project managers, or, you know, what are some of the other constraints that you see? Because to me, spending all of that money and actually delivering the projects by 2028, that seems difficult.
Okay. So Mission impossible?
No, hopefully not.
I value your concerns. It's very important because we, for instance, struggle with the city permitting process. We they were understaffed and we had all kinds of delays with getting the permits through. So I value your concern.
For that future agenda item, yeah. I have plan to complete, update on the plan to complete by the deadline, including concerns and issues and solutions.
Barriers. Thank you. All right. I have a couple comments. On behalf of the commission, I attended the inauguration of three of our stellar projects. The one I loved the best, I think, was the Tail Waggers Dog Park.
Wagging tails, yeah.
There were more dogs than people, it seemed, there. And it was so welcome. It was a real treat. And then Mansfield pool slide, just to see Vice Mayor Dollop go down the slide and get completely wet was a real treat. And the playground at Parkview in the Julia King neighborhood, that they really have been sort of undersourced, and they were so pleased to have that asset there. And at the time, they were redoing the street, so it was a real maze to even arrive at the park at a time, because Jim DeGroote had closed off half the streets to get to the park. The best one I want to share with the commission was Barrio Nepal. I'm kind of choked up about this, but there were residents that said for 30 or 40 years, they wanted a park. Yeah. 30 or 40 years. And one of the women said when she was a kid, she and her mom would walk 2 miles to get to Mission Manor so they could get to a park. So it was really terrific. And the fact also that Sunnyside School District had conveyed some land to make it happen was really great. So it was a very moving experience.
Yes.
So. Any other announcements or I'll welcome a motion for adjournment.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I second it.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.